This has been a very interesting couple of weeks for me since we last met. It's only yesterday that I got clear on what we're doing tonight. you know, we got to a place 2 weeks ago where we had looked at a number of the things that kind of work against our life in God, and we all have a certain number of them. And we looked last week at what the Lord is saying about brokenhearted, and the fact that He wants to heal and free and deliver us from the things that have broken and crushed and limited us in our life in Him. And as we looked at all of those things, one of the things I said last week is that the place that our healing starts is with enough connection with Him that He can work in all of those things. We need to be connected enough for God to pour in and for us to draw on Him and make those changes and replace the things that have lodged in our lives. And of course, there are things that work against that. And I said that that actually the healing of our heart and the restoration of our lives in that area is kind of pivotal point. It's pivotal. It's not the goal. It's the enabling thing, you know. So we come in with all of our stuff, and there is this pivotal place in the middle where God has to put us back together and free us and deliver us from things, so that there is a release of our spirit that allows us to really function in His kingdom and not be hindered and held under wraps, as it were, by our fears and wounds and view of ourselves or even view of God, you know. And I said, and I believed it at the time, that that we're going to talk about our spirit this week and where that comes in, you know. But one of the things that I had a feeling about, even when I was saying that 2 weeks ago, is that we're not done with connecting prayer. We're not done with the connecting part. There's something more that needs to happen on that, you know. So I've been praying about that. And we are going to talk about that tonight. And I have a title. I really have a title per se, but I have a title tonight. It's called An Appointment with God, which I think He has set up for this evening. And I'll tell you how I came by that, and several of the things I'm going to share are about this. So you get the picture. For 2 weeks, I've had these two topic possibilities, and I haven't known which one we're talking about. So yesterday morning, I said to the Lord, I think it's getting time for me to be clear on what we are doing. You know, I'm fine to depend on You and let You do whatever You're doing, but, you know, I do like to have a clue. And this is what I heard. I got a word from the Lord. Not just for me, I think for all of us. This is what I heard. I'm making an appointment with those who are there. The time is to speak with them about the things that are stirring on their heart and for them to know what is on my heart toward them. Exercise the boldness to tell them that I am making an appointment with them. Okay, now you know. Use the scripture that illustrates it, and mention how long it has been the intent of my heart. I will show you other scriptures, and you are to pour them out. Then, give me opportunity to do just what I say in my word. Make a way to cut through whatever barriers are there, or if they are not ready for the barriers to come down, to speak to them from the other side of the barrier, so they know I am here, and not the one at a distance. The So, obviously, from yesterday morning till now, there's been a regrouping on my part to pray through this and say, okay, Lord, what's going on here? The scripture that I knew when I heard this that the Lord was referring to is in Exodus 20:25. And I want to look at that with you. It has to do with what he's saying here about making an appointment, a time to meet with us, and about how long he has been working on this. Exodus 25 contains a lot of instruction to Moses about the building of the sanctuary, the tabernacle. And it started with 10. It's talking about the ark and the size it should be and what it's to look like. And it goes on to describe also the what the mercy seat is to look like, which goes over, this is verse 16, "You shall put into the ark the testimony which I will give you. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width, the same size as the ark. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold, of hammered work. You shall make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat." In verse 21 and 22, it says, "You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark." Now, the law is in the ark, right? So the mercy seat is on top of the law. This is good news. We have a shot at it then, right? And it said, "You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you. And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel." There, above the mercy seat, I will meet with you and I will speak with you. Meet is a word that means make an appointment. I will set a time, I will make an appointment to meet with you and to speak with you. Meet also means, by extension, it has a meaning of to engage, as in marriage. It means to betroth. Now, so he's saying a great deal here, isn't he? You know, the New Testament talks about the bride. Here's a picture of it that he's telling them to build, and that he is going to meet with us there, both to speak with us and to betroth us. Do you think he plans way ahead, doesn't he? I was reminded of a prophetic statement of this in Hosea. Chapter 2. I'll read you a couple of verses from there. "And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord." There's a New Testament scripture that is very like this, but it's relating to friendship. This is in John 15, where he says, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you." There are several other scriptures that I want to share, just, you know, for perspective about how important this is to the Lord, the meeting with us and speaking with us. See, we tend to think that we have to try to get his attention. We have to find the right combination. We have to get everything in order or something, you know, to get him to respond. But it is possible that he is wanting to meet with us, and that he really does think that his mercy covers everything and there's nothing in between. That's his perspective. Now, ours takes some catching up, doesn't it? You know, there's a lot of, don't know if I'm worthy, all the things that go on with us. But, so let me just share a few scriptures that came to mind for me in this. It actually starts way back in Genesis 2. Verse 15 says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it." Took the man means to take with the hand, to lay hold of. It's not some kind of directive. He takes a hold of Adam and leads him, brings him to the garden. There's contact in that. It's not a distant directive that gets him there. You know, God is very present and active. Earlier in Exodus 25, verse 8, when he's beginning to talk to Moses about this, he says, "Let them build me a sanctuary, a sacred place, a set-aside place. Let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." The purpose of it is for him to dwell among us. We think we're visiting him there, but he thinks he's dwelling among us. Dwell means to reside, but particularly to permanently stay. Build me a place where I will permanently stay. Now, what is the temple or the tabernacle? What does it represent in the New Testament? What's the temple in the New Testament? Yeah, but what is the temple in the?
We are.
It's the place where he's going to permanently stay. The fulfillment of Exodus 25:8, we might look at in John 14. Jesus assuring and encouraging and giving word to his disciples. He says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He's setting a time to meet with us, betroth us to himself, and it heads toward a place of fellowship in which he shares his heart and all that he has heard from his Father and our Father. "I will meet with you and I will speak with you," it says in the scripture. Speak or commune, in the King James it's translated, the word there is commune, but it means to arrange or to put things in order. And some of the synonyms for what that might look like, that Strong's indicates, show us how extensive that speaking, how extensive that might be. Some of the other words that he uses there are answer, appoint, bid, command. That's not our favorite one. Commune, declare, promise, pronounce, teach, tell, use entreaties to get something across. So that speaking might have a lot of faces to it, huh? Set aside a time to speak to us in maybe a great variety of ways. He's going to meet with and speak with us over the mercy seat. Well, we don't have the ark and the mercy seat, literally, physically anymore. But the New Testament statement of Exodus 25, a New Testament statement of it, is in Hebrews 4. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. This is a key word for the Lord, isn't it? It's in all these scriptures that we're looking at. Mercy. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of trouble. Boldly, the word boldly means all outspokenness. Frankness means blunt. Does that comfort some of you who have been given a hard time for being blunt in your life? The Lord invites you to be blunt. Confident. Says openly, plainly, come to the throne of grace. Do you remember when we were looking, as either the first or second night we met, we were looking at the scripture in Psalm 62. It talks about pour out your heart before the Lord because He's a refuge. There's a lot of mercy in a refuge. You know, we can expect safety and mercy there. But that pour out was, remember I shared that it meant sprawl out, one of the meanings, one of the ways to describe it was sprawl out before the Lord. It's the same kind of thing, isn't it? Come boldly. We are so careful, you know. Watch what we say, only certain topics. Don't want to talk about the stuff that might get me in trouble. He says, pour it out in my mercy so that you find grace to help in that trouble. You know? That doesn't sound like figuring it out until you get it right and then, you know, solving it yourself. That word, bold or boldly is a two-part word. The first part means all. And the second part means to speak or say or pour forth. Pour it all out. Yeah. Is that easy for us to do? Yeah, that's sad, huh? Because it sounds like we pour it all out and He brings mercy and grace to help. Now that is workable. You know, that sounds workable. Even before he gave the instructions for building the tabernacle, he was reminding Moses about his acts in terms of bringing them to himself. This is what he was always wanting to do is get us to him. Exodus 19:4 says, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Are there any Lord of the Rings fans here? Anybody watch? I was watching The Return of the King last night with my grandsons. They're the only two who wanted to watch it with me, you know. So we were watching it. And you remember the part where the eagles come and pick them off the rock toward the end, you know, all the lava flowing around and everything, and you know the eagles come. Gandalf is on one of them, and a couple more pick these guys up and carry them home, and they wake up there. You know, this is what the Lord wants to do. He wants to carry us, gather us up, bring us to himself. The prayer of Jesus before he leaves is about this. It's about oneness and being with. John 17, verse 24 says, Father, I desire. That's a strong word. I really want this. I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. And finally, I want to say that this kind of withness is just a key to everything in the kingdom. It's actually a part of the Great Commission. A very key part of the great commission that we're all trying to be part of with him, right? Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo means know, see, be aware. Get it? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In my Bible, that age is defined. It says it refers to an indefinitely long period of time. And the emphasis is really more on the characteristics of the time than on the duration of it. It's kind of an idiomatic way of designating forever, or forever and ever. I will be with you. You know, in all the times when the Lord calls some of his kids, you know, when he began to call Moses, Moses said, I can't do that. I can't speak like that. The Pharaoh won't believe me, neither will the people. You got the wrong guy. And what the Lord says then is what he says here. I will be with you. And it's the withness, the level of withness that I think we're talking about. All these scriptures say that he wants and intends to be with us, and it doesn't sound like a sporadic visitation. That's the difference. We sporadically experience the Lord. That's not what he's after, I don't think. He's after an abiding fellowship where we are in a constant partnership with him, and it is this kind of closeness and withness. So I would suggest to you that it may be an awareness problem that interrupts his presence. Not the fact that he comes and goes. I don't think he comes and goes. For one thing, when I'm unaware of the Lord, I realize that I can become aware. See, I can turn my attention to him, and I can become aware. If that can't happen, I can say, Lord, what is preventing it? Now, I don't always like the answer. And it usually challenges me a little bit. But I can actually find out and get back into an awareness of him. And I find that he actually hasn't gone anywhere. I have wandered off. My attention is over here. I'm worried about this or that. I'm figuring out what I have to do and how and whether it can possibly work or not. I'm assessing the possibility. He's walking along, waiting for me to continue with him. Sometimes that's what I hear. Let us continue. Or when I feel like I've been out there and missing it or whatever, and realize that it's a good deal simpler than I'm making it, he has said to me a number of times, I'm content for you to see. Whatever you think it costs, you don't start beating up on yourself, whatever you think it costs, he's more content for us to see. He just wants us to get it, even if there is cost in it, you know. He's more willing in that regard. Well, all of that is a scriptural statement to give us a perspective and to ground what I'm saying and hearing from the Lord, that He wants to meet with us tonight. This is a set apart time. He's already been doing that in the worship, huh? And you know, that's the key thing, that he meet with us. I don't know what that's about. My sense is that the Lord knows what is going on with every single one of us. He's very interested in that. It matters to Him. And He actually wants to meet with and speak into that. So I said, okay, Lord, then we will take you seriously. See, it says right here. These are my instructions. See my instructions here? It says right here. Now, I want you to know, I've exercised the boldness to tell you that the Lord is making an appointment with you tonight. I've shared the scriptures that He laid on my heart. And it says, then give me opportunity to do what I'm saying. And meet with us. Let me just say a couple of things before we do that. If He's wanting to meet with us, do we have to do anything? Probably better not to. And sometimes that's the hardest thing, you know, set aside the stuff and just say, okay, Lord, here I am. Now, do you think that's true? Do you think He wants to meet with us?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too. All right, let's pray. Lord, you can say some things that if we take you really seriously, take us aback a little bit. But we raise that up to you. Whatever feelings or questions or whatever are going on about this, Lord, we raise that up to you. And acknowledge the fact that's exactly what we need, Lord. We need you to meet with us. We need you to set some times to meet with us. We need you to speak to us. We need you to put things in order. If we're honest, there are so many things that are very, very difficult for us. We don't understand. We don't know how to get through them. And Lord, Old and New Testament, You have put together the power of mercy. That being the case, that being your provision toward us, there's nothing in the way, Lord. You have covered all of the bases, and the door is open. So, Lord, we just say, here we are. And invite you, agree with you in meeting with us. You know where we are. You know what's going on in our life. You know what has gone on. You know what we need. You know the key things that could could break through and make sense out of things for us. You know what we need from you. Lord, in all of these things that I have been looking at the last few days and pondering for the last couple of weeks, the thing that stands out for me is that all throughout the generations, that is the desire of your heart, to draw us to you, that we would know you, that we would have these times of meeting with you and letting you speak to us. And to know you, it's not only for the resolution of things in our lives or to have information or direction or clarity or knowledge, but we need that kind of fellowship. We need that kind of oneness. We need the security of it. We need the richness of it. You're so right, Lord. You're so right. You know all the things that kind of surround us, that prevent us from being that simple with you, Lord. And we invite you tonight to somehow part those. And speak to us either through them or around them, Lord, but that we would know your presence and we would know what is on your heart toward us. That's the other thing I felt very strongly. There are things on your heart toward your children. You want them to know that. Lord, we just give you the initiative. We're so used to starting things and feeling like it rests on us, but that's not what you're saying here. It says that you're making the appointment. You are initiating meeting and speaking with us. Help us relate to that, Lord. Help us hear you. Or just to know your presence and the peace that surrounds us and all of the saving, blessing, provision that you desire to make for us. Encourage our hearts in that reality, Lord. Lord, it says that you are wanting us to know that you are here and you are not the one at a distance. Lord, light that up very simply and plainly for each one of us. You are right here.